Matthew 10:24 today, and that's going to be really, if you look at your scripture, most Bibles, if you put like Matthew 10:24, they're going to say, the meaning of discipleship. We have reduced discipleship really to, accumulation of some information, and discipleship absolutely can be information. But I think we see an early indicator of what discipleship did. And the early indicators were that people walked with Jesus. The disciples walked with Jesus. They ate and slept with Jesus. They didn't just learn about him. They learned him. They grew to know him. Are you with me, guys? The secret to discipleship, one of the things is going to be intimacy with the Savior. As much as we put it into package deals, we've written a discipleship book that'll be out like final print this year. And there is information, lots of biblical information. But as the years went by, we forgot to walk with Jesus. So what you've got is really the meaning of disciple is, you're in church, you've learned a certain amount of biblical facts, but it's hard to take away of the essence of discipleship, which is hanging with the Lord, walking with the Lord, watching him work. There's something about that, even though he is not in this earth, on this earth right now visibly, but through the Spirit we know he still is. Jesus intends to walk through people, and those are the ones that he will call his disciples. As far as having a theological banner, it's important that your doctrine is right, but your doctrine isn't, it isn't what you know, it's who you know. But I want you to read in what he says, because I've always found this amazing. And he starts out in verse 24 of Matthew 10, if you don't mind doing that. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. And so the first thing that Jesus starts talking about is something that we get around a lot and we don't think of. Because Jesus came and he paid the price you can't pay. He bled a blood you can't bleed. He was sinless, which you are not. But on the flip coin, we are becoming like him if we are becoming disciples. There's a difference. For years, I always looked at the impossible works that Jesus did, and I liked the works of power, and I wanted to do them. But I admit that in the translation, just it's one a subliminal thing to where I lost track that Jesus was living a life we could, and he was setting a precedent for us. Even when he says this disciple is not above his teacher, you've got to understand, as the disciples become the apostles, because once he dies and resurrects and the Spirit falls, he sends them. But to the early disciples, hearing this statement would have been very normal, because the master or the teacher, the rabbi, taught you and you handled things the way he handled them. You walked the way he walked. And he didn't set an example really that you couldn't keep or do. So for years, I looked at Jesus's amazing, impossible works. Thank God for that. But I didn't look at the pattern and the die cast of his life and how he was going to make me like him. But it's weird, because the instinct, I think, is in the very words themselves. And I remember even being 5 years old, and I couldn't describe what I was feeling, because when you're five, your cognitives are kind of weak and you don't know. But all I knew is I wanted to walk with Jesus like he walks today. And the priest was confused, because I'm trying to put something out because I felt this distinctive call. And my heart got really like bubbly, and I wanted to walk with Jesus. That's why I told the guy. Well, Catholics don't have a lot of language for that. That's not in their doctrine, to be totally honest with you. But what I was describing is as if Jesus is walking today, and I'm going to walk like him. And I'm going to walk with him. It's funny, because the very essence of discipleship is walking with Jesus. And it doesn't take a rocket science to do that. But he does explain it, because you got to understand, as he's giving the meaning of discipleship, he's telling his disciples of that day, you will not be greater than me, but you will be like me. And you will not do, there's works that he did, but I want you to listen to what he's saying to them. Part of your being with me is that I'm going to make you like me. And it's just a simple equation. What, again, I'm going to say this, we've so many times stuck that into the information category that the walking category went away. And we just accumulate information. And even when it's tough times, we believe the solution to tough times is to carry more information. If so many times the solution to your problems is dying and walking. Dying and walking. Many times we're trying to solve problems in Christianity with people and individuals, and God's either asking them to die and walk or not. And this is what's really critical. Here's the other thing you need to know. He goes on here. So he gives this thing of the disciple, you know, this is a lifelong thing. It is, you're going to be training from first, you know, from the first day you're saved, you're going to be training past that. And then I think about this whole essence of becoming like our master, like our rabbi. And it's a living proposition. It is not an intellectual proposition. Intellect plays a part, but I want you to understand this. And what's interesting, you know, that term I used to use, becoming sons and daughters of God, is a really fitting term to the actual cost and the meaning of discipleship. And then he says, he goes on, and this is what really grabs me. We want to be like him, okay? And we need to know it's a realistic expectation. Do you understand his disciples, when they would be hearing him teach this, it was a realistic expectation. He didn't say this and it was lofty. It's one thing you got to understand. There are times I look into Scripture and God commands something. It's as convicting as me as it is to any Christian. And the Lord says something. And as he says something, he says it like matter-of-factly. Do this. Like, you can do it. And then in verse 25, he talks about another meaning of discipleship. He said, if they called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign you, the members of the household? It's interesting. I was sitting at a church service once, and the pastor was bragging of how he knew the mayor and the mayor's aide and how the city liked, and they were going to give him a key. You know, that whole blah, blah, blah. And I started thinking, and I said, you know what? This is crazy. We're applauding, and we're saying it's a favor of God, but everybody likes you. And I kind of had this nudge in my spirit from the Holy Spirit and saying, what is wrong with this picture? If the praise of men comes in at the same time, everybody agrees that you're wonderful, that's how it should be. That's how Jesus made you. But I'm looking at Jesus, at the actual Jesus in the Scripture, and he is saying that if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, which is the demon of the flies, demon of the air, how much more the members of his household? So I look at the cost of discipleship and truly supernaturally walking like Jesus, and then he tells me the other meaning of discipleship is to be disliked. And it gets at the core of popularity. It gets at the core of something that we all fight with. Because I don't know about you, but last time I checked, I like to be liked. I do. If you say you hate me, I don't like that. If you say, you know, I can't stand you, Pastor Mike, it bothers me. And yet it's so funny because part of the cost, and not even the cost, the meaning of discipleship is you get this walking. Jesus sets a pattern to walk in, and then he says, hey, if they called me a demon, you're members of my household, they're going to call you worse. Isn't it funny? If everyone hates us and we're doing the work of God, we would often say, am I doing the right thing, God? Did you really call this to be? Do you understand how twisted we get this? Not just that you get it, I get it too. When things go wrong, we say, what did I do wrong, God? I don't understand it. What did I do wrong? Why are things going on? Everybody hates me. I've made enemies. And then you realize this is part of what Jesus taught as the meaning of discipleship. The very meaning. You know, I worry that sometimes we are rebuking the devil when it's actually God doing the work. But the meaning of discipleship is not a popularity contest, and it is also to be known because all of us want to be loved. We want to be appreciated. We want people to say, I love you, you're great, you're fantastic, you're awesome. But the reality that we often face is that when the real works of God begin to flow through us, it is at those times that we can hit the worst pile of poop we've ever seen. If they call the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of the house? And that actually implies that we may get called worse. You know, I'd almost like to tell graduating students, whether they're doing a bachelor's in theology or whatever, hey, you're going to be disliked. Number one, get used to it. Get over it. Okay? Get used to it. Get over it. Number two, listen, if all men speak well of you, that might be problematic. And if God really begins to move through you in the Holy Spirit, all hell will seem to attack you. Can you use that as a marker that this is the meaning of discipleship? Will you put it down and say, wow, I'm a disciple. How exciting. Just to give you an idea, that person that said the mayor loved him and everybody loved him, they came up to be a criminal later. You know, it's interesting. You can get into the praise of men. And when you get into the praise of men, things happen. You get bonded to the praise of men. You got to think about this. Where are you at today? You get maligned? Are you upset? If you do a work and all hell breaks loose, do you feel like you did something wrong? If people dislike you and you're doing the works of God, are you convinced? Does that show you that you pulled something you should not pull? Think about it, Melissa. Think about it, Matt. Here's the thing that you have to understand. I'm saying this very personally to you, but it's general. It's for all of us. You really want to see the dead raised? If you do, then you better be ready for violence. Seriously. There is no if, ands, or buts. And you better be ready for violence two ways, not just the devil and the world, but sometimes the religious. This is really the cost. People, listen, one thing I learned years ago is I'm like, I want power, God, and do this. And the Lord began to lead me into the scripture and say, do you? Do you really? I said to God, I want to have a revelation. I want to see you. And he blessed me. And I have had experiences I don't ever talk about. Some of them are secret. I never will. I've seen things that will make your hair stand on end in a good way. But there's suffering related to it. And there's persecution related to it. And there's pain related to it. But that's okay because Jesus already spells it out. Now, I didn't say that to Matt because I don't think he's ready. He knows this. He understands this. In fact, I might even not say it to Matt if I thought he was lesser of a man. But, you know, you guys are great people here. You understand this. So I feel the liberty to speak to you directly in many ways. Maybe I wouldn't in other crowds. I don't know. Wouldn't this be cool that, you know how we do discipleship material? And I admit, the book we wrote, me and Armand, it might lack this. You'll have to remind me. There's a lot of pages. You know the page thing. I get confused. But that, hey, one of the meanings of discipleship, Matthew 24 through whatever. Now, if you can use some of these markers in your life and go, wait a minute, somebody's come against me. I'm walking with God in a real way. And then you're encouraged. And then suddenly it's all better. Hallelujah. Discipleship makes sense. Now, does it mean you'll never be liked? No. Does it mean they'll always call you a devil? No. But I'm just trying to help you to understand that Jesus walks in this earth and the prince of this earth hates it. And the very prince of this earth, the devil, he attacks. Now I'm saying this for another reason, because Jesus is growing in you and expanding in you, okay? As he's growing, as he's expanding, as he's doing the thing, he wants you to understand kind of what is beginning to go on. And he wants you to understand sometimes the enemy will hit you. And that's okay. I used to tell people if you had a night of God using you or God healed people, I'm not always telling them, you know, bear down and get ready to be punched, but I've often told them, just be careful, because there's a whiplash sometimes that happens. You will get hit emotionally. Why do you think you will see Christians make great strides and then all of a sudden they will completely fall apart? The stride was of God. The falling apart was a reaction to the attack that they should have been ready for. Because this is a game of survival. This is a game of diligence. This is a game of persistence. It's a good thing. So I like what Jesus is doing. I like what he's saying. I love this. He says in 26, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. I want to give you something with this too, because when we do the work of God in our lives, small, big, or little, it doesn't matter. That we often feel we're picked on. We often feel that we're not vindicated. We often feel that this has happened and this injustice, and we cry out to God. But what he's telling them, there's a time even in this earth. It's not today. But there may be a time where Christianity is worldwide illegal. And it will seem like evil is getting the upper hand. It will seem like evil is getting everything. But he says, don't worry, darkness will be revealed to be darkness. truth will be known in its fullest form. Jesus will come back to this earth, and when he comes back to this earth, he is going to do something, and he is going to show. And you know, it's funny, because in the end, we know the devil and his angels are cast into the lake of fire. We know that men small and great are judged. We know that all things will be known. So if evil and its agenda and its, you know, its pawns are used mightily, and you seem like you're not getting a word in, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Everything that's concealed will be revealed. Motives will be known. Right and wrong, it will be known. Who's who will be known. Who's of God, who's of the devil will be known. Even the false prophets, the false apostles, they will be known. He tells them, do not fret. Says, listen, we get caught up in the moment sometimes, and when we get caught up in the moment is when we get caught. I can have an event that happens one day that crushes me, and if I don't look at the full perspective and I isolate that day, it gets overwhelming. You can have a season where it seems like nothing's moving, and if you concentrate strictly on that season and don't look at the long haul and the cumulative effect, it can really cause you to stumble. I used to say Christianity is a game of survival, and people used to say, well, what do you mean? Well, it's a survival. You need to stay, and you need to keep standing, and you need to keep moving. And I guarantee you, this will pass. Absolutely. I love what he said. What you hear in the dark, shout out. I love it, because one of the things is that Jesus reveals stuff sometimes to us very privately. Sometimes he speaks something in a sermon. But he needs you to know that what you hear in the quiet place is probably be made to be known in the wider place. Think about this for a second, okay? Then he goes into it, and I love this. He said, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, part of that meaning of discipleship is you cannot fear man. A disciple of Christ, if he fears man, the fear of man will control his agenda. The fear of man will control what we do. I want you to think about something, and I've been there. I've been places where and again, I've met people that are obnoxious, they're rude, they say wrong things, and people get mad at them. And they're mad at them because they're wrong or they're rude. They're not mad at them because of Jesus. But that said, there's also a time where it's like the right word in that setting could cause all kinds of grief to break loose. And you make a choice. I can either fear what I think this person will say to me when I unleash this truth, or I can fear the Lord more greatly and say, I fear God more than I fear you, therefore I'm going to speak. I fear God more than I fear the opinion of man, therefore I'm going to tell the truth. It might make me uncool. I fear God more than I fear man, therefore I will do exploits for God, even if the cost is life. One thing I saw when I did different missions is I see people that the fear of man is really not an option. And it's easier because governmental oppression and whatever, and religious oppression, it makes it to where when they even come into the kingdom, they know it will cost them. See, we kind of sell, I call it a gold package in America of Christianity. You know, you get it, you'll have more friends, everybody will love you, God loves you, you'll never have a trial, all things will work well, and kind of going, wow, we sell a different package. I'm watching sometimes this dance and this song, and I ask the translator, what does this mean? And they're telling me the lyrics. I told you this last week, and it's real pretty little dance, these little girls, maybe 10, 12, I don't know. And it's about how they're going to spread the God's glory and the cross everywhere they can, and then how, so that they might die worthy. And I'm listening to the lyrics that the translator's saying. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. If you had American Christians sing this and dance, people would tell them they need deliverance and they need faith. I thought, what a different aim when you look at it from a different way in a different country with a different oppression. I want to encourage you in this because there's a beautiful thing. And sometimes, you know, it's the way it is. But this is actually so important. When we give discipleship, we go to Matthew 28 and it says, go now make disciples. That's not the meaning of discipleship necessarily. That's a part of it. But it's funny how we really don't start over in Matthew 10 and start really reading out this stuff. Because go make disciples is what a disciple does. But the very essence and the meaning of discipleship is a little wider, if we can get a hold of that. So fear him who could cast the body and the soul to hell. Do you know many people, even once upon a time, you know, religious people, where they feared man and the fear of man actually controlled their actions? And their greatest fear was the fear of man, and it controlled their actions. It changed them. Once that happens, you got to realize somebody else is in charge. I haven't. As a young Christian, I remember getting in a social situation where you fear what people will say, you fear what people will do. One of the problems when we grow up in Christ, I don't know if you guys, I know you can relate to this, is sometimes we get too smart for our own good. We overthink. We contemplate things that are really settled in heaven, and once we do that, then problems begin to happen. I don't care what the subject is. Then he goes on and he says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered, so do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. I love it because Jesus really puts it out. He says, listen, you're going to go through stuff, but you know, God is mindful of everything that is happening. Now, a lot of times we teach that in saying, you'll never have a problem. Isn't it good to know God cares for you more than birds? And yet he's telling this to guys, most of them will be martyred. I want you to think about the context. God knows what you're going through. God sees it. God is right there. You're worth more. And as you deal with things and then you endure things, Jesus is with you. It's a powerful thought. And put it into that context, and you know what I'm saying. I want to read down, and we're about done, because this is not a horribly complex thing. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. So Jesus spells out the meaning of discipleship, and he also spells out one of the results of the truth is division. I once told the person I was preaching, I wasn't actually in this country, and because I remember because I got questioned, I said, everybody that comes to the unity of Christ first needs to suffer the division that Christ brings. And this guy came to me and through translation said, I don't get that, it contradicts. I mean, God's called us all to be unified. I said, no, he actually hasn't. And the look is just like, you're a heretic. Why did the pastor bring you to this country? And I said, you've got to understand that the truth will cause divisions, but the true body will stand in unity around that truth. But that truth has an ability to sometimes cut. And yet that truth has an ability to unify people as one, like they've never known before. The cost of God's true peace and unity can be a division that's painful. Now I want to say this, because how many times have you upset somebody? I don't mean raising of hands, but how many times have you upset somebody with truth? Oh, I have. And a guy physically grabbed me and he pushed me into a wall and he literally like picked me up off my feet. I guess he was stronger. He said, tell me there's no hell. I said, there's no hell. And he went, good. I said, but I'm lying. And he was so mad. Stop that. Stop that. Tell me there's no hell. I said, well, you told me you don't believe me, so why is it important whether I tell you there's a hell? I said, I can't tell you anything but the truth, and there is. There's a heaven, too. He said, I don't want to hear about that. I just don't want the hell stuff. But what he was really saying is, I want to keep sinning. Tell me it's all right. That's really what the whole conversation was doing. That was why he pushed me against the wall. He wanted me because he knew I was telling truth. He needed the source of truth to actually stop being truth so he could feel better about what he was doing. Nowadays, somebody, a Christian, would go, oh, I'm not sure. Does that make you feel better? Yes. Okay. And they walk away. Sometimes truth causes division. Sometimes that can be the meaning of discipleship. I've upset people. I've upset relatives. I've upset family members. I've upset strangers. Because the truth does that sometimes. Now, I want to say this. There is such a thing as mercy, love, tact. But there's also such a thing as the truth that divides. We need to learn how to balance these. Oh, I've seen people go and cause trouble and go, you know, see, it's for Jesus. And I'm watching the video and going, oh my gosh, you know, you're an idiot. Wow, I wish you knew that this had nothing to do with Jesus, what just happened to you. I wish you could understand that, because you don't even know the real division the truth brings. I say these things to you, the reason I say this, because it is what you need, it's what we need to know as disciples. You know? Think about the dearest relationship, because he goes on, and this again, the context. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And I'm going to define that. It's not even going to take 5 minutes. It's simple. In the Jewish home, saying that I have met Yeshua, because in Hebrew it's Yeshua, but Orthodox Jews call him Yeshu. And it's actually pronouncing his name as an insult, and it says that name Yeshu means may he be forgotten forever. But if you come home and say to a Jewish father or mother, or even a mate, I've come to know Yeshua as Mashiach, then a lot of times the husband says the divorce papers will be in the mail. I heard a case where a guy, literally his wife said, I come to Yeshua is actually the Messiah. And the guy looked at her and said, the papers will be in the mail. He packed his bag. He never came back. He filed for divorce. To the disciples, this meant a lot because it didn't mean, you know, to hate your mother, hate your father, because people often take that verse and they don't understand it. But it did mean that if their respect means more to you than God being right with God, you're not worthy of a kingdom. It did mean if being connected to Jesus means less than having your mate, your family, your cousin love you, then you're not worthy. It's a simple equation that Jesus puts out. Because obviously, and you know why Jesus puts this out now? Because you need to know when you go into something what's happening. You know, I have people say, it'll all be good, family members will get along. And I remember getting into, you know, really bad, you know, your family can be a very fun place if you're the first one to Jesus. And I hadn't read this verse yet, and all hell broke loose. And I'm like, oh my God, is this really God? Is being a Christian God? And then I'm reading in Matthew, and I'm like, oh, it is. It is, okay. Now, I'm saying this to encourage you. I've dealt with all of you. You're my family, and we're, you know, we're church family. And I've seen so many of you step up so boldly. I'm so proud of you. And you took heed, and it grieved you. It hurt your heart. It hurt my heart to hear it hurt your heart. But I say this, too, to be encouraged, because part of that is the meaning of discipleship. Now, that doesn't mean those relationships can't be mended. But all it means is that sometimes there is a reaction that we cannot get around. And then we take the stand. And like I said, I've been real proud of you guys. You guys, you know, I hear things. Because I'm your pastor. I hear things. I hear problems. I hear this. I hear that. And I realize, you know, this is a disciple. When you tell me the story, I go, it's funny. This is a disciple. And you're sad, and I'm sad, but I realize that it's okay, because part of that simply means you're a real disciple. And it's something you're going through that my Savior and your Savior, Jesus already said, you're going to go through this, okay? And he didn't mean all the time, but when it did happen, you needed to look and say, part of that's the meaning of who I am. Now we're going to pray for peace, we're going to pray for resolution. Absolutely. I think God loves to bring that which is divided by truth back together because of the truth. That's also not a hard thing to believe. And then he says it really simple. He does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You know, he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. That's a powerful statement. You know, you got to understand is we're going to stand up and pray and close out. You got to understand something. That the Lord wants you to understand these things so you can be encouraged in the midst of so many things. So that you can go through things and go, it's going to be all right. I found truth. It caused a division. That's okay. And you can believe God to bring that division together. Absolutely. I have friends that have lost mates, literally, because the mate went off and did something crazy and they didn't want to be with them. But I've also seen people. You know, want to hear something funny? I knew there was a couple. The wife, they were bikers, kind of, and you know, he was a tradesman, and he came to Jesus, and they told him in that sanctuary everything is good. He went home. His wife wasn't good with that. In fact, she filed and divorced him. She tormented him, even when he literally was like, "Is this Jesus? Did I do something wrong? I don't get this." Now, I want to tell you a good part of the story. She actually came back to him. They remarried. They were actually on TV. Their testimony, 700 Club, Pat Robertson. I actually know this couple. And they actually testified how God brought them together. So there's a case of a horrible division. Isn't divorce the worst division? And then they're on the 700 Club testifying to God's goodness. Is that crazy or what, guys? I think it's crazy. Now, I want to announce to you, we're going to close in prayer. Next week, Mike is going to be here. Michael Herbert is going to be visiting. So what I want you to do is when we come, we're going to have prayer time. We're going to have, you're going to pray for the sick. I want you to be praying up. And Mike's a guy that really had a lot of healing in his life. Even physically, he shouldn't even be alive. It's a miracle. And I appreciate his spirit. Let's all rise and pray, guys. Father God, as we go from here today, you showed us there is such a thing as the cost of discipleship and the meaning of discipleship. And there are both angles in the scriptures I have read. Help people to be encouraged. Lord, I remember the first time someone told me off for my faith. They told me off. I'd never been tacky. I'd never been mean to them. And they read me the riot act. My insides were so shaken, Father. I remember I went home and I was scared to talk. I didn't even know if I should anymore. I remember the pain that came upon me and the fear that came upon me. And you showed me the scripture. It's funny, Lord. Sometimes we don't get to the right scripture at the right time and something happens and we need light. Sometimes, Lord, when we're under the worst attack is when we're making the biggest dent into the darkness. I pray encouragement for every believer here because, Lord, Christianity, the very cost, the very meaning of it is discipleship is the result of our Christianity. Lord, I've had people say not everybody's called to be a disciple. That's nonsense. Everyone is called to be a disciple. Everyone. I pray as we go, even today, Michael's coming next week and we're going to take time and I know Mike's going to pray for people. I pray that great things would occur. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. When is the weather going to warm up, guys?
Next week.